All right. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. This is a monumental episode of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Allen Iverson, me and Allen Iverson, talked about it before. Yo, what can I say? The first ever episode of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, I went over my wish list of people that I wanted to interview. AI was one of the first people I mentioned. I'm the reporter, the sideline host with the most for the Big Three tournament this summer. AI is a part of it. Chauncey Billups, they're going at it. The shit's going down. It's starting the 25th live from the Barclays in Brooklyn. Professional 3-on-3. I got to talk to AI about his career. I was bugging. You hear me in the interview say I'm bugging, that I was right there talking to Allen Iverson, interviewing him. I was bugging the fuck out the entire time. But for Fox Sports 1 and the Big 3, I got to sit down with AI. This is an Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast monumental mountaintop moment. All right. I'm going to be there all summer. The 25th is at Barclays, and then 2 weeks later is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then they're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups, AI, Dr. J, Ice Cube. Yo, it's going to be dope. They've been having some preseason games. Gary Payton. It's fucking dope. It's dope. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Me, Allen Iverson. One thing I want to tell you right off the top, about a minute, 30 seconds, 90 seconds of the interview, I screwed up my mic, so we're just going to cut right into what we picked up, so it's going to seem out of context. We just jump right into it. It was my fault. I was freaking out, okay? This happens when you're sitting there with somebody that means so much to you. I was like stuttering and stammering at the beginning and didn't turn my mic on, so we're just going to jump right into it, but like 90 seconds. Actually, the first 90 seconds of the interview, I started talking to AI about how much I couldn't stand Michael Jordan, and that's the part that got cut out. He was like, you couldn't stand Jordan. I was like, listen, that motherfucker was trying to take down everything that me and my Knicks were trying to accomplish. So he was tripping off that, and then we jump into the interview. So it's me, Allen Iverson. It's the Big 3 this summer. Tickets are available at big3.com. The 26th of June, the games will be airing on Fox Sports 1, FS1. And what can I say? Allen Iverson, the answer. He gives all the answers. Let's go. All right, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Casper is an award-winning sleep company. An obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. There's over 20,000 reviews online with an average of 4.8 stars for Casper. Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Do you understand what that means? Okay, you need to buy a new mattress, okay? You could sleep on it, live on it, jump on it, have a fucking pillow fight on it, do whatever you want. Okay, for 100 nights. If you don't like it, Casper will pick the mattress up and take it away from you for free. Okay, it's made in America. Great pricing and a great product. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit. Go to casper.com/Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Use the promo code Rappaport. Get $50 towards any purchase by visiting casper.com/Rappaport. They have sheets. They have pillows. They have doggy mattresses. They have pool mattresses. I love everything about Casper. Proud sponsor of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Go to www.casper.com. Get a new mattress. Sleep like a baby. Sleep like an angel. Okay? Go to casper.com.
How you root against Mike? Yo. But it's a lot. It's man, you'd be amazed how many people root against him. You know what I mean? Like, and then a lot of times when somebody win as much as he has, a lot of people just want to see somebody else. You know what I mean? See somebody else win it. Cause my whole thing now, like when I look at the in the playoffs, you know what I mean? From the rip, I have my hopes up that certain people won it that haven't won it before.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to see the guys that. Especially when you've been through it already, you go through those wars.
Right.
And then you know how tough it is to do it and accomplish right. it. Because, you know, all those years I played, I only went to the finals once.
Right.
And, you know, when you see guys win multiple titles, as much as you love them, much as you fans of them, you want to see the guy that had, you know, won one get one. So that's how I do my thing. Like, my whole thing this year was I was all in with Isaiah.
Right.
For all of the...
He makes you look like you're 7 feet.
Right.
Like, he's like a little dude compared to you.
Yeah, I always call him a midget. I always mess with him. We was talking last summer, and I was talking about, you know, how if we played against each other, it would be so easy for me because I would just shoot over top of him. You know what I mean? Even with a hand up, I still wouldn't be able to see his hand.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he just, man, the talent that he has in the heart, you know what I mean? Like, you can't teach that. You know what I mean? The heart that he got. And then, you know, everything that he went through, you know what I mean? Rest in peace to his sister. But everything that he went through. And then to be able to go out there and... But I understood, Mike. You know what I mean? Because I've been through things in my life. And when you basically... Even practice? Yeah.
Wait, you sitting here talking to me about the big three and you bringing up practice?
When you going through something, for those 2 hours,
right.
That's what basketball does to you. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, you're around your teammates, you're around the guys, and you know what I mean? You work out with them or whatever. Then after it's all over, you're driving home. Then you start thinking about those things. But for those 2 hours, you know what I mean? You fine. And that's when I realized it was time for me to retire because when my daughter was going through the Kawasaki disease thing, I found myself, the second time I went to play for the Sixers, like somebody would be shooting a free throw or something, and I'd just be sitting there, and I'd just be thinking about her. You know what I mean?
Your mind would wander.
Yeah, like, and I never did that. And I never, you know, and I owe too much to that organization, too much to my fans, too much to my teammates to not be focused like that. So that's when I figured, I was like, yo, it's time to get up.
When I was saying about Jordan was, it wasn't like I didn't love him, respect him, rock his sneakers. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, you know, in this day and age, everything with Twitter and Instagram is, you hating, why you hating and all that. Like, yo, you can't love a team without hating another team. It's like as a New York Yankee fan. Right. I know why the Red Sox fans hate us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, right. Like, you know, with LeBron, it's like, yo, you're not on my team. You're not associated with any team that I don't want you to keep winning. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. I get it.
And I obviously you can't question the greatness, but that don't mean I have to sit there and, like, you know,
I understand. I mean, now
who
that you would never think in a million years that I would be a Sixer at heart. You would never think I would be rooting for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
But I'm rooting for Isaiah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it all comes together. It's, you know, it is what it is. Like, and I don't have the animosity that I had for those. I had time to heal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being retired this long, it's like, you know what, man? Let me stop hating these certain teams, man. That, cause you know, when you have a relationship in a certain way with certain fans, when it's like when you play that team, you like, damn, we gotta go up here and play these people and I gotta deal with all the things that they say.
Were they the nastiest, Boston? At all the places you played, in your prime of primes, in the doggest of the dog fights?
Boston, Indiana, and Utah, for me. But you know what the weirdest thing, if Mike, I promise you, if you look back on it, I was showing my girl something. And my man, when you look back on it, I'm like, okay, we'll go back to an old Boston game when we play in Boston. And then you zoom in on the crowd. You know, when you're at Boston, you're seeing green and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Basically,
throughout. And red faces. I said it.
Okay.
I said it. He didn't say it. I said it.
Okay, yeah. But you seeing green jerseys, white jerseys. But when we play them, it's black and red mixed in the whole arena. You see half Allen Iverson jerseys, half Celtic jerseys. And I used to be, you know, and I used to be dumbfounded by it. And I'm like, damn, that's cool. soon as I touched the ball, I don't care if I'm taking the ball out of bounds, every time I touched it, boo, boo. And I'm like, how all these people in here with my uniform on and they booing me? But it's like one of those things, like, they love to hate you. It's like one of those things, like, yeah, we love you, we're a fan of yours, but we bleed green.
Right.
And you gotta respect it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You gotta respect that.
So based on everything we know now, because right now, just to contextualize it, four teams are left. Three teams are left. It's gonna come down to LeBron, Golden State. Based on everything we know now, injury free, barring, knock on wood, we want everybody healthy.
Right.
If you had to make a prediction, who's gonna win the championship? Just prediction. Come on, say the right thing, man. I can't go through it again.
I mean, listen.
They tried to lock me up last year.
I explained it to you earlier. It's one of those things where if I could choose a team, I would choose Golden State because KD don't have a championship. Mm-hmm. He hasn't won one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All of those guys that's, you know, great basketball players, you look at Steph, you look at Draymond, you look at Klay, you look at LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, and all those guys, they got chips.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then if you could have it your way, you would want it to be for the guy that, you know, didn't win one yet.
Right.
But at the same time, I want to see a great series.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But just tell me who's going to win. Just tell me who you think is going to... If you were a betting man, you're not a betting man. I'm assuming you're not a betting man.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'll let you say it. I never want to put words in your mouth because first of all, this is like a bucket list moment. The fact that I'm sitting down interviewing you, I'm bugging the fuck out. You can beep it out if you want. All right, I'm just going to keep it 150.
I say Golden State, Mike.
All right, good. Because I can't... They tried to lock me up last year after last year.
Okay, look.
Game.
Now, just like you said, like I would never take the reason why I never became an analyst with all of these offers that I had to do that. I always felt like they had to have a special talent because for a guy that used to play to get on TV and critique another guy. Even when he, like, especially at his lowest point, you know what I mean? When you dogging him on mm-hmm. air and you got to say bad things about mm-hmm. certain guys. Mm-hmm. I never could build myself up to doing something like that because I wouldn't, you know, I just wouldn't want it to happen to me. So I never liked the idea of doing that.
All right. Yeah, you were so associated with hip-hop. I remember one of the first times I seen, like, a piece on you. You were in the Georgetown locker room with mm-hmm. Coach Thompson. You were listening to Wu-Tang. I don't mm-hmm. remember what the song was, but you were going around, you know, and just the culture and, like, you sort of brought hip-hop into the NBA. I mean, obviously other dudes did it, but you were, like, the face of it.
I took the ass-whipping for it, for guys to look like and be who they are, have their own identity today. And to the people that's not their cup of tea, they now accept it.
Right.
Because they have no choice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when there was no problem when I was dressing and looking the way I looked when I was playing at first.
Right.
But then
when shit was sweet.
When guys started, the younger dudes that looked up to me started doing it, it was like, oh, now it's a problem. You know what I mean? We can have one bad apple. We can have a Dennis Rodman dressing the way he dressed, and that's cool. You look at it like Dennis is Dennis. You look at it like Allen is Allen. But now there's a whole bunch of these guys starting to look like Allen. So I think, you know, that's where it came in, and I took the whipping for it. But it's bittersweet to feel good now. The fact now you look on TV, and it's normal to see a guy with a bunch of tattoos. It's normal to see Kawhi Leonard with cornrows and stuff like that. So I feel good about that part of it.
Forget the tattoos and the cornrows. You made it acceptable for dudes to show up to a basketball game with shirtless blazers, all right? Dudes are coming in with sleeveless blazers to put. I mean,
I feel and see, Mike, that's some real shit. I feel disrespected in this way. And not to where it's disrespected to where I have an attitude or anything like that, because I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm long gone from the game. But when I look at the guys coming in and more power to them and all that, you know what I mean?
Say more power to them, but it's like, is it a Lucky Charms box or an NBA
I felt like some of these outfits, you know, once the commissioner or whoever that matters seen one outfit, like some of these mini outfits, they would say, oh, okay, we got to implicate another dress code. You know what I mean? But I'm watching with these dudes. I was like, I won't never this bad right here.
Every day is Halloween for some of these dudes. Man. Like, it's like, I want to be Pat Benatar today.
And I don't want to sound like, you know, when people was talking about, when everybody was talking about the crossover thing with Hardaway, and everybody was like, oh, man, Hardaway acting like the grumpy old man and this, that, and the
right,
third.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? And I was like, man, the man is just expressing that you know, far as him saying mine was illegal, you know, and I was carrying, you know, that's when I took offense to it and like, all right, well, I carried my crossover all the way into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
That's when I, you know, it bothered me. But I don't want to be the guy, you know, with these guys, the way they dress now, and I don't want to be sitting here like I'm the grumpy old man.
I'll be that guy. All right, because everybody, no one wants to say it, but everybody's saying it. All right, because
absolutely.
Listen, you can't come in there dressed up like you're on a yacht in Saint-Tropez when you come into Game 4 of the NBA Finals. All right, but the thing about hip hop, I want to ask you.
Let me say this. The way that I always looked at it was, I was wearing what I would wear to the gym if I wasn't in the NBA. Like, this, I'm dressing like I dress.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, I never, you know, and I love suits now at an older age, but I never thought about wearing a suit to the gym when I'm going to play pickup ball. Right. Like, I ain't wearing no suit in no gym.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like I said, man, before, to each his own.
Right. All right, now this is an interchangeable answer. It's the reason why I brought up hip-hop. So you don't have to feel obligated to anybody. If you want 6 or 7, you could do it. Let's say alive, top 5 MCs alive, and it's interchangeable. If you want a cherry on top, and then the 7th one, I'll give it to you, top 5 MCs.
I get so much flack from this because...
You leave people out.
And I leave people out, and I'm big fans of so many artists. You know what I mean? Even some of the young guys today, you know what I mean? I'm just a big fan of the hip-hop culture. And then it's hard. Like, obviously, you're going to leave out a great. You know what I mean? You're going to leave out plenty greats.
Plenty.
You can name 5, but you're going to leave out 50 to 100 greats. You know what I mean? You're going to leave out guys, and
you forget dudes.
I care not to do it because you forget guys, and then, you know, a guy come back and say, well, how you ain't had Eminem up there? How you ain't had Andre 3000? You know what I mean? You know, but you just naming guys off the top, and you forget certain guys and just get out of hand.
All right, since there's no more groups in hip-hop, barely any more groups, 5 of your favorite groups in no particular order of hip-hop. Groups.
No particular order.
No particular order. 5 of your favorite groups today on a Wednesday.
Run DMC.
All right.
Beastie Boys.
Okay.
Lox.
Okay. I'll take one.
Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang, EPMD.
Tribe.
I know you can keep going. You can say Outkast. You can keep on going. It can go on and on. With the Dungeon Family, you can keep... You can go on and on. You know what I mean? Like, you can't win that.
You can't win it.
The Fugees, you just can't win it.
All right. That's a good list.
Yeah.
That's a good list. All right. Are you an Atlanta Falcons fan?
No.
Who's your football team? Because in high school, you apparently is good at football or better at football than you were in basketball.
Yeah.
You still love football?
Still loving more than basketball.
For real?
Yeah.
So who's your team in football?
I'm a Cowboy.
Oh, my goodness, Craig. I didn't. See, I said I wanted to interview this dude. I'm a Giants fan.
My best friend is a Giants fan. But see, with me, like, the Philly people got pissed off at me because, you know, obviously I'm a Cowboy. But what they gotta understand is, you know, I was from Virginia before I got to Philly. I was drafted by the Sixers. And my mom made me a Cowboy fan. Like, she used to make me watch the Cowboys when I was, like, 5 years old, all the way up to the age that I'm, you know, obviously a fanatic now. But my mom made me a Cowboy. And you know, the people in Philadelphia, you know, they had to realize that, you know, that was the case. You know what I mean? I'm not from Philadelphia. Now, do I love the organization? Do I love a lot of the players? I'm right there with them right. All the time. I watch them go through their ups, their downs. I root for them. You know what I mean? Even though we're in the same division. But it is what it is, man. I feel like any person got a right to be a fan of who they want to be a fan of.
I hear you. All right. So that was rough, though. The Cowboys had a good
All Eagle fans, not Sixer fans.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all of them are not Sixer fans.
But just to backtrack for last year with the Cowboys, I mean, things were real sweet, and you met the Giants twice, and we put it on you real nice, real proper.
Y'all didn't put it on us.
Twice. No, the L's the L.
You saying put it on
no,
us.
No, it wasn't ass kicking.
You beat us. You beat us. And one thing.
We interrupted
see, greatness. One thing about playing the Giants.
Yeah.
There's one thing about playing the Giants. You can play those guys tough the whole game. It can come down to be a low scoring game with the Giants. But one thing for sure, two things for certain, you have to expect number 13 to take the lid off the defense at least one time during the game. It just so happened with us, it's always at the wrong time.
That's right.
It's not in the beginning of the game. It's, you know what I mean, a 2-3-4 point game, and then it's minute or some change or something like that on the clock, then he goes 60, 70 yards or something like that. It's just a guy like that, you can contain him all game long, and you can have a good game against him, a good game plan, but at some point, something's going to happen explosive.
Now, Ezekiel Elliott, when he showed up to the NFL draft with the midriff out, did you expect him to be as good as he did? Because I was like, yo, I don't know what kind of party you think this is, but this is the NFL draft, my man. I don't know where you think we're going. This isn't Malibu. It's the NFL draft. You got your stomach out. I don't know what you're trying to put. He surpassed expectations.
You need to ask him. Girls might like it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean.
Girls might like it.
Girls like me, and look at me. I'm not showing my midriff.
That's all right. But when you do, they like you even more.
All right, the big three. The big three. Game four, week four. You're in Philly. Dr. J, what does Dr. J mean to you? What does Dr. J mean to the city of Philadelphia?
Everything, man. Everything. You know, it was the best part of being a Sixer and being and having the relationship that I have with the Philadelphia fans is because they had it with so many greats before. Obviously, Dr. J had a relationship with Barkley and Bobby Jones and Andrew Toney.
Moses
Malone. I mean, and the list goes, Mo Cheeks, the list goes on and on. And for it to be a debate whether I have the better relationship with the Philly fans than any of them is special to me. It says a lot to me about, you know, how the Philly people treat me and the relationship that we have. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, think that the only relationship that might come close to the relationship I have with the Philly fans is Mike in Chicago.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And Doc has been he's always been supportive of me. He's always been there for me for whatever, even if it's just a conversation about something that I might be going through personally off the basketball court. Mm. He's been there, you know what I mean? And he's been a great inspiration for me, obviously. And, you know, I want to be a part of that legacy of the great Philly athletes like it stands right now.
Do you ever get over your fandom of somebody like Doc? I mean, you've known him for years. you know, you're in the whole, like, do you ever, but are you, is there always a party that's like, that's Doc?
Nah, it never gets old because you look up to him so much. Now, with Doc, you have a sense of admiring him so much more because the ones that admired him before him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you look at him being, I mean, well, after him, I'm sorry. When you look at the way he is and then the evolution of Black Jesus, you know what I mean? And see how Mike came into his own. And for me to know that Mike looked up to a guy like that, and I look up to Mike, that makes it more special for me because my hero looked up to him.
Right.
So I think that's dope to me. So he'll always look like a superhero to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like Mike, you know what I mean? It never gets old when I see Mike. It's still the same thing, like I said in the Hall of Fame speech. Like when I see him, it looked like he's glowing, like Charlie Murphy was saying about the Rick James
right.
thing. You know what I mean? It's always going to be like that, you know, with me because he was the guy that made me want to play the game and I wanted to be like.
Okay. The big three, one of the things that people are excited about, I'm excited about, is they are allowing hand checking in this league. Mm. When you were in the league, hand checking, you know, they were still able to hand check. Now guys can run freely. What is hand checking? And if you played in a hand checking free era, completely hand checking free era, how much more of an impact do you think you could have on the game offensively?
With no hand checking?
With absolutely no hand checking throughout your whole career.
I think it would have been worse on defenders, obviously. I remember my rookie year when they had hand checking, and Derek Harper could guide me all over the court. Because in a basketball game, 9 times out of 10, the person that's guarding me is always stronger than me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, everybody would love to be able to do that. You know what I mean? But I just feel like a lot of things change once I evolved.
Uh-huh.
Once I became the 6 foot, 165 pound guy that the league's never seen before come in and dominate scoring the ball like that, then slowly but surely, a lot of things changed. You know, when I was in college, I used to always tell my teammates, like, man, once I get to the league, nobody's gonna be able to stop me. They can't run boxing ones on me. They can't run boxing ones. They can't run zones.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can't do that. 2-3s and stuff like that. And for a while, it went on, and you figure out, okay, well, this guy can't be stopped in a one-on-one league. So then all of a sudden out of the blue you wake up and there's a zone in place. So, but hand checking like always been tough on me, like I said, because guys are, you know, usually stronger than me.
Does that mean they could push you or they could keep their hand on you to slow you down essentially,
if,
right?
If you see how like when guys come off of pick and rolls now, you come off pick and roll and the big man show,
right.
And the guy always, you know, do like this and he get the call.
Right.
It's basically just like that, but you can do it at any time. You can have that contact at any time, especially if hand checking, you only could use one hand, right?
You're asking me, what do I know?
Nah,
but yeah, I think you could put two hands.
You only could use one hand, right? Yeah, you only could use, obviously this would be a foul, this would be a block, but like hand checking, it was actually, somebody could grab you by your ribs and then just guide you anywhere they want you to go. If you want to go this way, then they can just hold you and stop you from going that
right.
way. You know what I mean? So they could force you to go wherever they wanted you to go on the court. I'm glad. I would never want to see hand checking in the game again.
You're glad it's gone.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that because I just think it's a foul.
Do you think that dudes, like so many dudes, are scrutinized? Curry, Isaiah, Curry being the biggest. Like last year when he had the unanimous MVP, you know, it was like this great thing. This sort of unprecedented thing, and the whole storyline throughout the playoffs was you know, just bashing Curry, bashing that team. Do you think it's unfair that players like Steph Curry and it's really the point guards, they're able to run free and then get scrutinized? Like, well, in our era, they wouldn't have been able to do this. Last year, there was like, well, compare them to this team, compare them to that team.
You cannot do that. Your era is your era is a different era. You had the certain rules back then, and then as the you change eras, then it's different things that go on. We never thought you would have guys like LeBron, 6'8", faster than everybody on the court, stronger than everybody on the court, handle the ball. We never had big guys bringing the ball up the court that big, 6'8", guys bringing the ball down the court and crossing people over and doing stuff like that. The game is evolving. It's getting better. You know what I mean? It's not. You never seen nobody. When we sat around and we seen Reggie Miller was a great all-time shooter and Ray Allen, great all-time shooter. And then you got Mahmoud, and then you got Chris Mullin and Larry Bird. You got all these great shooters. And then just like that, Steph come out of nowhere. Now we looking at him as the greatest shooter of all time. You look at Michael Jordan. Dr. J come around. Then Michael Jordan come around. And then heck 'em Kobe. Mm-hmm. Then heck 'em LeBron. Like, it's just gonna always just keep getting better and better.
Right.
You know what I mean? The game is getting better, and we should be happy that it is, man. The game is changing for the better, and you know, it don't supposed to be like it was back in the 80s, man. Because this 2017.
Right.
Not supposed to be the same.
All right, big three. They're allowing trash talk. I was there yesterday with Gary Payton. He's unbelievable trash talk. Doesn't shut up.
Kenyon Martin.
When you played, who were a few of the guys that, besides Gary, Kenyon Martin, that liked to talk? Because even Oakley, he doesn't talk at a high volume. He doesn't stop talking either.
That liked to talk.
Who were the dudes that would talk the most to you? Because you didn't seem like you talked a lot.
I didn't. Unless somebody started to bother me. I never.
That's not your thing.
No, that wasn't my demeanor on the basketball court. That was never part of my thing. Now, pick up with my friends at home, that's a totally different story.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when I was in the league, none of that. I don't know, because I never really heard GP on the court with me talk trash like that. But watching him play against another team, then I could pick it up. Who else you say?
Gary Payton. They were all doing it. You know who was talking a lot?
Mike talked trash too. Bird talked trash.
He did?
Yeah.
Mike would, was it overt or was it kind of just in your ear?
No, Mike probably talk more physical trash.
Right. Oh, he's threatened.
Like little stuff. Like I remember one time when he was 6-for-6 in a game and Aaron McKee, my best friend on the team, was checking in the game. And I remember, you know, I used to put the powder on his hand.
Yeah.
We went to the sideline, dumped the powder on his hand, and Blue was getting ready to check in. And he was like, look, McKee, I don't think this is a good time for you to come in right now. And I got scared for him. You know what I mean? He wasn't even talking to me. I was like, oh, shit. Like, and he already 6-for-6. So it's getting ready to be one of those nights anyway. So, you know, he had his own slick way of talking without talking. I remember Jimmy Jackson, we was playing him in a preseason game, and we were in the game, man. We were in the game. I think it was my second year. And we were at North Carolina anyway, and he was just chilling, man. And Jimmy started talking trash to him. You put your shorts on just like me, you tie your shoes. I said, oh, Lord. And 50, preseason game.
Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm one more question on big three. 4-point shot. You saw it. I saw your first reaction to 4-point shot.
Going nowhere near it.
What is going to be the impact of a 4-point shot in the big three?
I don't know. I know it's going to be a great weapon for guys like Jason Williams.
Mahmoud.
I didn't know Mahmoud was playing.
He's in it.
Wow.
He got busy at the combine.
I can believe it. Chauncey Billups. A lot of guys, Steve Jackson. There's a lot of guys. Rashard can shoot him way out there. It's a lot of guys. I got to come in a little bit more. I ain't nowhere near strong enough to be shooting from way back there.
All right. It's the big three. Allen Iverson, I could mark this off things I've ever wanted to do, is sit down and talk to you. You mean so much to so many people. I can't wait to see you out there coaching. Can't wait to see you doing your thing. The fans are going to be excited to see you. I appreciate you.
Very fun. You're very fun. My man.
All right. Yo, me and Allen Iverson, big three. It's going down this summer. First game is in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays. Big3.com. If you want to get tickets, going to Charlotte, going to Tulsa, going to be in Philadelphia. Going to be in Dallas, Kentucky. We're going to be playing in L.A., Seattle, and the finals are August 26th in Las Vegas. I can't wait. It's Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, and we're done. Thank you so much for letting me have that opportunity.